Good afternoon, and Mary Collins, as near as I know, is not here. She said she was not going to be here, and so if she is not here, I've actually not met her face to face, but we have had several conversations. I think what really brought this on was the whole process of people approaching the point where retirement is appropriate and making that transition. One of the things I have had was that I have had a number of colleagues that have been extraordinarily good scientists, but who have not been very good business people or economists. And so they were so deeply enmeshed, they could tell you everything in the world about their field of subject matter. But if they had to really say, I would like you to go out and start a business or to do a real analysis of pension profiles and things like this, they were somewhat lost. And so they didn't spend as much time in their career really looking at the economics of where they were going to be as they approached retirement as they should have. And so this brought this on by the fact that I had a number of really good friends who were getting ready to retire about the same time as myself. Harold Reitz, sitting here, a good friend of mine, we were in school together, and because of his particular employee relationship, he was in a situation where he had to retire from his position about 5 years earlier than I did. And so I've been able to kind of use Harold as a kind of a case scenario on things that for advice. And so I found that this whole area of kind of having someone as a sounding board for the advice process as you approach retirement could be extraordinarily valuable. And so since we don't have a mouse, we're going to do page down, which is right here. For myself, I know Mary Collins just very briefly, but she has had a very long and distinguished career in soil science. My career had been in plant breeding. I'd started working with Northrop King in 1979. I'd actually worked in soybean breeding for FS Services for 5 years before going back to grad school, where I ran into a certain man back there, Mark Sorrells, who he and I were in grad school together. And so after getting out of grad school at the University of Wisconsin, I started a 35-year career, starting with Northrop King, which evolved into Sandoz, Syngenta, et cetera. So without changing jobs, I changed names of employer three times. But most of my career was spent in the U.S., but after 25 years working in plant breeding in the U.S., I had had the opportunity to take several trips to China and was able to just see the scope of what was going on in China. And so I had a chance to just see the production systems and learn a little bit about what was going on there. And with one more merger that came about, I had a very good friend of mine who was in charge of Asia research. And Syngenta was interested in setting up a research program in China. And I volunteered to go and help coordinate the development of that whole process. So that led me to 5 years in Northeast China and two more years in Central China. And the whole point of that period of time was to basically create a structure that would go on without me being present. So I was literally designated to create a structure where I would walk away and from my own job that I had. So that was a seven-year period that was spent in China, then followed by two more years working internationally in terms of germplasm utilization. So you can kind of see some of the red spots on the map there where I had spent significant amount of time and effort working in the matter of germplasm utilization and working with breeders in those countries. In 2013, I was in the position where I was looking at where I was going to go next, and because I was actually already 65 years old, and I was very much into my career. I enjoy science immensely. There was nothing that ever said, I'm tired of this type of stuff, I want to walk away. But at the same time, looking at the pension profile and everything that was involved, I realized that the longer I worked, the poorer off I was going to be just based on my pension profile. And so I said, yeah, I did a full financial analysis of where I was, and I realized I could take a lump sum distribution and invest it and then consider what I was going to do in my future. And so basically at that time in November 2013, I said, I'm over 65. I think this would be a good time to just walk away and do whatever happens to come next. So with that, I then was able to get into some consulting contracts. I did one job where I was working with a group in Sweden, followed by another trip to Kenya, working on the MLN virus disease problem, maize lethal necrosis virus problem in Kenya and Eastern Africa. From there, in the following year, I made two trips to Africa with the Gates Foundation, working with crops I had never worked with before, working with dry beans, groundnuts, pearl millet, and sorghum. So expanding my horizon drastically, which took real work. As was said in the previous one, some of these things turn out to be very significant work processes. If you're going to take on a project and do a consulting, you never want to be a consultant and walk in and people realize you have no idea what you're talking about. So it is very critical to spend the time and do the groundwork required so that if you're going to talk with people at ICRSAT about sorghum, that you at least know what's going on. Page down. So the question, and Mary and I talked about this a great deal, the thing about when is it time to retire, it's a combination of a personal decision and a professional decision. It's a combination of both of those, and very distinctly, both come into a big part of this. In terms of personal decision factors, one of the things, I have known a few plant breeders, I've known many plant breeders and other agronomists also, but many plant breeders, and sometimes you wonder if these people really have a life other than what they do in their career. And so I think this is something really, really critical, is no matter how driven you are in your career, that you do have something additional in your life other than your job. So the things that come into play, obviously, your family is a very critical part of this, and so if you're married and you, a wife or a husband, you need to really be down and get down where it's not a surprise where you walk home one day and tell your wife, say, I decided to retire today. Hopefully, if you're in a good position, you will be in the position where you can control your destiny. Sometimes there are cases where things come up where you do not control your destiny, but that is no excuse. If you need to be prepared for the eventual that there could be a retirement, whether it's under your control or not under your control. So you really have to have a very good sense of what your goals are. Like I said, I think I could have worked for another 5 or 10 years as far as my scientific curiosity in the type of love I'd have for doing science and plant breeding. But I realized, I said, I think I can do it in a different manner than continuing to work for Syngenta. And I had no problem with Syngenta, but I realized it was time to say this portion of my career is over. Health is really critical, because if you are not healthy, you may be 57 or 55 or 50, and you may be forced with decisions that you would not choose to make. So health is really critical. Age is a really important component, because every year you live, every year you work is one less year you're going to have post-retirement. So you have to factor this in as to how old you are, what the family history, what your family history is. If your father and grandfather and uncles have all died at age 62 and you're 65, you might think it's really a good time to think about what your next plan is. Finances are really critical in the whole process of these decisions, and the hobbies that you have, what you like to do with your spare time, whether it's church, woodworking, hiking, anything that just makes your life more than your current career. In terms of professional decisions, there are certain things where there are natural points where it is a good time to consider whether this is a good time to consider a transition. You need to look and say, what is your current productivity in your career? Has the science changed to the point where the science that you are using right now has not really kept up with the current methodology and procedures that are going on? Is it time that you say, let the younger people take it and let them run? You have to say, are you appreciated by your colleagues at work? Do they just more or less tolerate you and say, yeah, that's old what's his name, and kind of just ignore, yeah, he talks a lot. In terms of whether you're in an academic or a commercial position, there are sometimes projects, or another way of saying it is students, that you can say, am I willing to start a brand new project? One of my colleagues wanted me to take on a position managing the program in Latin America. And I said, you know, if I was 5 years younger, 7 years younger, I probably would have jumped at it. But at this point in time, this kind of a job is something where you need somebody willing to put in 5, 7, 10 years, not 2. And you say you don't want to take on a project like that if you think I really plan on retiring within a couple of years. So this is a really critical thing. And the same thing with your grad students. If you're an academic person and you say, I can sense that I probably am going to want to tail things down. How many new grad students do I want to pull into the program, or is the people I have the ones I want to finish out my career with? And so I think this last one is really, really critical part. If you have control over your own destiny, this is probably one of the real critical things in terms of the decision process. In terms of goals after retirement, what do you wish to do after retiring? Some people say, I'll be happy to be an emeritus professor. I will continue to work with grad students. I have one friend in Africa who is probably close to 80 years old, and he has continued to advise students for the past 15 years when he otherwise, many people would have walked away and said, you know, I'm retiring. So you have to say, do you really wish to do the research and kind of things like that afterwards? Or, as an alternative, have you collected a lot of stuff where you really would like to spend the time and publish or to write a book on the technologies and the systems that you have been doing? So maybe not collecting new information, but just kind of cleaning up all the stuff that you would have done prior in your career, but just never quite got to it. Beyond that, you could say, do you wish to even consider starting a whole new career? Is there something that you've always said that you would like to do that you didn't do that would be fascinating? And then as another one is, do you wish to do consulting, whether it's a minor or whether it takes a great deal of your time? And I put with income because there's lots of things where people will be happy to utilize your services, but without income. And so you have to determine whether you're going to be doing something as a professional that actually generates income, or if you're just going to be a good guy and help out just because what you wish to do and don't wish to deal with more of a business aspect of it. So that's a really critical part of this. In terms of economic factors, age is really, really critical. I mentioned this matter of health and family history, but your own personal health also. Hopefully you have a pretty good understanding. There are some people who could just fall over dead and not realize that they had a problem, but You also sometimes have a history of knowing that these kind of things exist. When I was in college, I actually started off, I grew up on a farm, I actually had started off in an area of ag economics, and so the matter of dealing with the economic analysis and business plans was a very normal part of my approach to life. And so having a very good understanding of your total assets and liquid assets is very important. I spent probably at least 3 weeks reading through and really, really understanding my pension program really carefully, because there's lots of fine print and you need to be able to have someone who can call, because if you do an analysis like this, you most likely are going to have questions that you say, I'm not an expert on pensions, I think I understand this, but can you verify point blank that I understand what this is? And when you work with an expert, you want to get this analysis, especially if it's an internal assistant in HR from your company, go ahead and get that in an email so that you have that in print, not in just, I wrote down this and this. This is what I interpreted what you said. So working with your HR department is really critical. Hopefully they will work with you if you're fortunate enough to have a pension. But as I said, probably the biggest key factor in my decision to retire at age 65 plus was the fact that I had a pension, which just did not amend itself to continuing on further and further, because I was losing money by doing that. Knowing what your debts are. Dealing with Social Security is another factor of life. It's complicated. I don't know how many people here have already crossed that divide of moving on into Social Security and retirement versus people that are younger that are still in the area of considering this. But registering for Social Security, and then very critically, knowing and deciding when to start receiving benefits. And if you have enough assets that you can let things ride, if you can delay, it's certainly a business option that you can consider. Health insurance and Medicare eligibility is critical. In some careers, you may have something where your employer had an extraordinarily good policy where you will continue on in health insurance and won't pay for it. But I don't think those are very, very common anymore. So knowing what your outlay will be for health insurance and Medicare and your Medicare eligibility is really, really critical. And that ties back into your age. If you are going to expected income in retirement, you may have other assets, you may be doing consulting, so you have to anticipate, you know, do you really expect this? And number two is, do you really need it, or is it just a good cushion to have as extra income as far as the requirement that you have this sort of thing? And then obviously your lifestyle anticipated in retirement. I traveled enough in the world. I don't figure I need to do traveling around all over the world in my retirement just to make sure I've gone to a few places that I would have already have gone to in my career. In terms of opportunities, one of the things I have found, and I have really been extraordinarily pleased with this because of the professional nature I find with my job, I have been a mentor for the Golden Opportunity Scholar Program for the past 3 years. This has been something where I figure I can contribute something to people who are young in the career, who are maybe not quite sure about how they're going to go about getting from point A to point B. And so this is something where I think that whether you're retired or just a mature scientist who has a very good understanding of what goes on in the life of a scientist, this Golden Opportunity Scholar is probably one of the best things that there exists in the American side of agronomy for assisting the development of the future of our programs. Many of you probably know of the book and may have read it by Howard Buffett on 40 Chances. Basically, it's a very good book to read about, you know, your career. Often you say you've got 40 years farming, 40 years of this, that, or the other. And he talks about the opportunities and what do you do with those 40 chances. Well, I've taken the analogy that with today's lifespan, and fortunately, knock on wood, the health, if you're healthy, in realistic manners, you might have 10 more chances post-retirement to say, this is what I'd really like to do with the next 10 years. And so that's kind of the way I've kind of addressed this issue. I have not started my own business. Some people have done that, but the opportunity to be your own boss is a real factor that does come into this. There are challenges. Some people have been so immersed in their career that if you take away that they were a doctor, or you take away the fact that they were an airplane pilot or a famous plant breeder, that they may not quite know who they are. And so there is a possibility that people who have been deeply, deeply enmeshed in their career could have a little bit of withdrawal and question, you know, just exactly who am I? Who do I wish to be? One of the things I think is really critical is the whole concept of networking. I have utilized the tool LinkedIn a lot. One of the things I found is that when I handed in my corporate computer, my Syngenta computer, all of a sudden my track of emails and contacts and people I'd worked with for the past 30-some years was not in my possession anymore, and so I had to rely on my memory of, now, who was it I worked with 15 years ago, 20 years ago, where are they at now? And so one of the things I would encourage is for people, even at midpoint in their career, to start establishing their connectivity in things such as LinkedIn and other ways of staying connected. Because when you do retire, and like I say, you hand in your computer, and all of a sudden, how was that person's name spelled? I can't remember who that was in South Africa that I used to deal with. It's really challenging, I can tell you. So then another thing, depending on how your family life is, working from home can present some interesting challenges. You need to probably have some place designated as your office space. And if your wife is understanding, she'll hopefully respect that and you'll get along just fine. But occasionally that causes some conflict if your office is not as neat as your wife would wish. Speaking from personal history here. Another thing, you will have to figure out, you no longer have a corporate person who does tech support for you. So if your computer has problems, you're going to have to figure out how to deal with it on your own. In terms of if you're going to go into the rank of the consultants, this is the whole process of how do you manage your process to say, I am on business time right now, it's 8:30, I worked for an hour and a half, record that, keep track of that, who is this that I did this for? It takes some logistics that you need to be figuring out as you're going to transition this from being an employee to being someone running, quote unquote, your own personal business of being a consultant. In terms of assistance, in making this decision, your family members are really critical in this, so that you say, yes, my family members, your wife, your husband, are buying into the fact that this is something, and they realize that there may be some pains and some other things going on in this. In terms of a financial planner, in spite of the fact that I feel very comfortable figuring out future value of money, present value of money, et cetera, and things such as this, interest rates, on and on, I think a financial planner can be a very valuable asset. Having friends who have already retired and have crossed through these things, people such as Harold telling me, you know, how would you do? I've asked Harold probably at least a dozen questions over the last couple of years, and the first 6 months in particular, you know, how should I be doing some of these things? One of the things I think that the American Society of Agronomy can and should be doing is creating a site for this linking of people who are senior consultants. Now, I would differentiate consultants who are 40 and 50 years old who are doing this for their whole career from people who are the quote-unquote retiree age mentors, consultants, and how do you put yourself available? Because as opposed to a job posting, most of the people who are 60-some years old are not looking for full-time employment. It's not exactly the same kind of a job posting site that would exist for someone who is 30, 40, 50 years old looking for employment. So I think this is something where American Society of Agronomy could help us out in providing linking opportunities to say, this person has this particular expertise, they are available, they have done this kind of things in their career. So I think this is something that we really do need to pursue. And plan ahead, think ahead, and I appreciate it very much. This was an opportunity I had while in West Africa evaluating a peanut breeding program. So a colleague of mine and myself visiting with two of the local scientists in West Africa. So thank you. I'd be happy to take questions and go from there. Again, Harold, I would say as a person here in the left-hand front seat here was very instrumental in answering some questions for me. We graduated from college the same year at the University of Illinois. I would say he was one of the instrumental people in the whole process of trying to formulate what I was going to do. The fact that he, I don't know if you would say he wanted to retire at age 60, but the company he was working with had a mandatory at age 62. 62, thank you, Harold, 62 retirement.
I would say that was actually a good thing because I would have probably stayed to 67 or longer, but it allowed me to get started on something else before I was too tired to do it.
I noticed in your presentation, I mean, benefits, health benefits, all those things are important. One thing is, when you go into consulting, do you normally work on a contractual basis, and then as part of that, you carry professional liability and errors and omissions?
Right. That's an excellent question. One of the first things I did was set up an LLC. So that I separated my personal assets from my business assets, and so it's not a huge expense. I think about $1,000 to get that all done, and so I did do that. That was part of your question. What was the other part?
Yeah, when you do consulting, you work on their contractual basis, and also.
I will tell you that. Yes, you need to have a contract. I had an unpleasant experience. I will leave the name of the other person out, business out of this, but we had an agreement that was a verbal agreement. The contract was coming, But because of deadlines, I was about 3 weeks into a contract when the physical paper contract came to me, and I discovered there were about two or three things that had totally been undiscussed in the verbal agreement. And so if I had had that piece of paper in my hands at the time when we were doing the agreement, my rate would have been about 30% higher. Because I, like I say, a little bit of anger there, but it's a good learning curve to get slightly burned in something. Verbal agreements are great, but you really need to have it in writing, and you have to be careful if you're very far in before that paper contract arrives.
And do you carry professional liability errors?
I do not. I have the LLC. I have a liability because I have some farm assets. I have an umbrella liability coverage of a couple $1 million, but that's because of among other things, some farm assets that I have through my family. But I do not have a specific policy. I don't know anyone else who might be doing some consulting. You may have the answer to that on top.